He'll be the first non-Nigerian to speak this, because Pastor Stephanie is American, but she's a home girl there. So we can claim her, even as Americans claim her too. But we have all the way from Kenya, Bishop Julian King. Now, I must say something. First of all, I really like the anointing on his life, because he operates both in ministry and also in the marketplace. All right. And when I say in the marketplace, he's not twisting to operate in the marketplace. You can see these are kingdom principles he's applying there. But you know, if you see him, he's a simple man here. So he invited me to Kenya to speak in the Arema Fest. It's the first time I will go for a meeting somewhere and regret not carrying some of my staff to come and see some things that I was seeing. It's a place, 50,000 people. All right, and they put up tents and all of that. And I said, this is real organization. And it was really, really phenomenal what I saw there. All right, so it's somebody whom God is using on the continent strongly. All right, in a real apostolic walk. And we thank God for the grace upon his life. All right. So let's rise to our feet as we welcome all the way from Nairobi, Kenya. Bishop Julian Kila. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Covenant Nation, how are you doing? I told you I'd come back. God is good. Something must have gone right last year. Or I've been brought to correct something I did. I am so honored. I'm very, very serious about what I'm about to say regarding your pastor. Both him and the First Lady have become people I am desirous to spend more time with. He's not the easiest man to get to spend time with you, but I'm forcing this thing because there are some things you have to pursue. And we have pursued this relationship because I believe for when you find in your generation people that carry something that is of a kindred spirit, that is not trying to please you or trying to impress you, but really working to do the work of God. I want to commend the angel of this house, the overseer of the Covenant Nation, truly, Pastor Poggi. I'm grateful. When he came to Kenya, I'm telling you, we didn't have enough. And we are here in front of all of you saying he must come back to Nairobi. And we're looking forward, if God gives us the grace, to have him again at Rema Feast. For me, he will be a standing guest at Rema Feast. It is not, please don't wait for an invitation. So we look forward to seeing you again this year at Rema Feast, sir. And we hope that we will see Mama Toyin with you. Thank you so much for being such a great example. Now, you know what us preachers do? We take 15 minutes on introductions and then we ask, I don't know where the time went. So let me jump right into what God has called me to do. I want to
give God honor. Please have your seats. I want to give God honor for all the people that have spoken, all the great, great speakers that are just releasing amazing understanding of this subject of soaring on the wings of faith. And I'm very, very touched by this particular subject. I came with our COO from the church, Pastor Pete, and his wife, who are here with me all the way from Kenya. Thank you. And I'm sure we have a few East Africans in the house. God bless you. God bless you. I'll pick up from Hebrews chapter 12. I want to appreciate all the leadership of Covenant Nation and every pastor and minister of the gospel in Nigeria. God bless you so kindly. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance this race that has been set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This subject of faith is dear to me because, as Holy Spirit guides me in speaking today, it is a subject that combines the things that I do. I cannot speak on the subject of faith without thinking of the hat I wear in the church and the hat I wear in the marketplace. We've been called to be kings and priests. So in dealing with this subject, please let me just handle what I believe is important for us to understand. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will give me utterance. Father, as I minister your word, I release everything I am to you, that you may use me in whichever way you please. Give me utterance, understanding, wisdom. And Lord, let those that hear what I have to say today that you have given to me to speak to them about, let them receive it and let them be able to utilize it for increase in matters of the kingdom. Amen. Now, patience is one of those things that comes to perfect faith. If you look at the survey here of this whole ground in which the apostle is working in the book of Hebrews, you notice he uses the word patience. I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. And if you have the KJV version, please. And he talks about you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. He then says, this whole understanding of this patience, it says, let us run with patience this race that has been set before. So these three things begin to become combined: faith, hope, and patience. Having done the will of God, which is your act of faith. So, if you have acted in the light that which has been born in you, which is God's object in your life, if you have acted in faith, then you have to understand that you can get to a point where you say, I have done the will of God. Good to see you, Apostle. I have done the will of God. In the matter of God, I have acted in faith. I have to understand that that's not the end. I want you to all understand that one of the things that a generation has suffered from is an assumption that faith is an immediate activity. But there's something here called patience of faith. So we have to support with understanding this thing which you have to support, that patience does have an element where it suffers long. So these believers that are shown in the book of Hebrews, they stepped out beginning in faith. They worked out this system. They've been seen and they've been understood, but in so doing, they suffered very much. He's come again to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go from verse 33. In fact, it says they were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly became companions of them that were so used. So this shows me a journey here that helps me understand certain things that are very key. And so when we look at that, the book of Revelations then starts to help me summarize some truth. I'll just put this foundation for about 8 minutes and then I can go from there. The book of Revelations summarizes it very clearly in Revelations 3 verse 10. And it talks about, you have kept the word of my patience. This is Jesus speaking. So all these afflictions and this patience which you have had to have, the patience of faith, is by the word of my patience. And chapter 1 verse 9 tells us what patience it is. It is the patience of Christ. Therein lies the very foundation, because it talks about, I, John, who am also your brother and companion. So first I'm your brother, then I'm your companion in tribulation, number two, and in the kingdom and patience of Christ. So the patience that causes faith to work is not your patience. It is the patience of Jesus Christ. And the moment you begin to understand this, then you bring it back to the beginning and you say, now you can run with patience. Whose patience? The patience of Christ. This race that has been set before us, we can run it with that patience. So faith and patience are exemplified by our Lord Jesus Christ as being a very key part of overcoming. These are factors in overcoming. Why am I speaking like this? It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy that was set before him, overcoming through faith and patience. It's key for you to understand that the dilemma is that if I lay my hands on you, that the salon is going to work because faith is now. It confuses the children of God when that oil has come on their heads and the customers leave faster than when they were coming before. It confuses the children of God when we talk about things that are going to happen like magic suddenly. And that is there in Scripture, but there's another side of Scripture, if we're going to give you the full counsel of God, that will show you that sometimes it's not automatic. Mark Zuckerberg is one example of a young person who became a billionaire in his 20s. That's not the rule. And sometimes we use the exceptions to create patterns and rules that frustrate us when things don't work the way we thought they're gonna work. That I thought that when the man of God laid his hands on me, the ministry would blow up in just 3 months. In fact, what happened was the contrary. More members left. And it throws us into a spin because we haven't yet understood the place of patience with faith. So how can I soar on these wings of faith? How can I soar in that dimension when I have not yet understood the true aerodynamics of soaring on the wings of faith? So I want to deal today with a subject called the disciplining of the soul. The disciplining of the soul. The disciplining of the soul. You see, for you to understand soaring, you have to understand certain dynamics. You have to understand that to soar on wings, you have to go beyond now faith is. You have to understand. My children were trying to teach me how to go on roller skates. Do you know what roller skates are? And I understood very quickly that there are some dynamics on these things that if you did not practice this thing early enough, you do not want to risk wearing those things as a man that is heading towards 50. Trust me. And so I realized that the same thing happens when you talk about wings, when you talk about eagles. I know we quote eagles a lot in church. And we quote how you can soar like an eagle and how you can soar on the wings of faith. But please let me also bring out a dynamic you need to understand. The eagle would not soar like that if it did not understand how to master the wind. The aerodynamics involved in soaring like an eagle need to be mastered. You need to understand certain language regarding soaring. You need to understand the angle of attack. You need to understand drag. You need to understand wind. You have to understand how to become a master of wind dynamics. I studied a little bit of aviation, and I thought I'd be a pilot in my life, but that did not go as planned. But when I was trying the classes, the physics side of it was that I need to understand aerodynamics, and I have to learn how to let the wind work in my favor. I need to understand when to switch the wing to the left so that it can lift on the right. I needed to understand that if I put too much drag on the tail, that the nose of the plane will go up. So it's not just flying. I have to learn how to use wind to fly. And wind in spiritual language is storms. So as a child of God, I've got to learn that storms don't come to kill me. They come to help me soar. The dynamics must be understood by any scholar that wants to be relevant and worth their salt in life. And so one of the meditations I want to use, so there's a place in scripture where wind can become a friend. Where no matter what wind you face, it doesn't mean we don't see you in fellowship for 8 months. I can gauge your status in your Christianity by how you deal with wind. And so it's important for the children of God to understand that the dynamics that come to give us that ability to soar on the wings of faith requires a mastery of the soul. A mastery and a disciplining of the soul. So, when we read in chapter 10 of Hebrews and continue on to verse 37, it says, "For yet a little while he shall come, will come and will not tarry," continue. And then he says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Then he says, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe," wait a minute, "to the saving of the soul." This is a statement here because I want you to understand that the saving of the soul is not the object of hope. No, the saving of the soul is not the recompense. It's not the reward. So what is it? But it's been put there so that we can see the difficulty. We can see the difficulty that our own souls are the difficulty in the place and the way of faith and patience. The problem is our souls. Okay. So, it's that soul that has to be brought into line. It is the soul that has to be brought into a place where it is possessed by the things of God and is altogether aligned and made to serve us in this divine end. This soul is important to master because our whole being is there. And scripture is showing me that this dynamic of the soul is a matter of progress, not a matter of instant gratification. So it means that people could call you. Let me not go ahead of myself. I don't want to go ahead of myself. It's important that this is not all done at once, but it's a cause in our lives that where all the doubting, the unbelieving, the questioning, the human life is brought over even to the place of faith. That when I receive a prophetic word, and I'm told that, I was in Houston, Texas, when somebody came to me. I was just a waiter, and this woman comes to me with a beautiful American accent. She says, "Oh my God, oh my God, I see the Lord all over you. And I see you. God's going to use you. I see a multitude of people. I'm in my apron. And I don't look anything like what is being spoken." And she says, "I see you." This is when I knew she missed it. She said, "I see you back in Africa." I said, "I'm not going anywhere." I said, "Now I know you're not a prophet." Because in my mind, I was never coming back. I was one of those. I was like, I will visit. I will check how folk are doing in Africa. But I wasn't coming back. It was not in my soul. She's here. She's like, and she started crying. Then she got on her knees. "If I could only show you what I'm seeing. God's going to use you amazingly across the continent." I did not look the part. Nobody had told me that prophecy is trouble. Nobody had prepared me to understand that this language I hear in the kingdom of God, that you shall soar like an eagle, you shall do all these things. Nobody told me about the cave of Adullam. Can we talk? Nobody told me that you can receive prophecy about a business and go bankrupt. I don't know if you've ever had a prophetic word and everything happening in your life is the opposite of what was spoken. I hope I'm in the right congregation. So, I didn't understand this divine thing. It's a matter of progress. Nobody told me it doesn't happen at once. And the battle within me began where I can hear the prophecy, but everything I'm seeing, my soul is in conflict because I don't see what you're saying. Even though I know you're anointed and all the terms that I hear used in the church. But this is the very nature of spiritual education. And you see, can I have 3 volunteers, please? If you don't mind, I really would appreciate some little help. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. So when I think about, you stand face that way, sir, and you stand face this way. Just face him, yes, just all in line. When I think about these 3 things, I need to understand it's a matter of progress. That revelation is progressive. That truth is progressive. I don't know why believers don't think. The other day I was watching Elon Musk and he was talking about his robots. And there are certain malfunctions that the robots were having, and he was giving instruction about what the engineers need to do, and he was making some changes, and they said to him that they should have those changes made within 6 months. But you see, he's the maker of the robots, which means he has a right in his creation. So most believers don't think that God has rights in his creation. So you see, I am both body, I am spirit, soul, and body. But when God is working on this, don't get the idea that the Lord has cut off and neglected to a place altogether the soul and disregarded it, because most of you focus on the spirit and the body and decide to just leave the soul on the side, not understanding that the mastery of the soul is going to bring you to a place of advantage and the disciplining of that soul, so that you can bring the soul over through spiritual education and alignment, understanding that God has not disregarded it. He doesn't disregard it. So we teach a lot in the church about soul ties. the dangers of the soul, and this is good, but how do I train the soul? How do I bring it to a place of understanding this journey, and how do I bring it, how you may come to the test of this matter at any time? And this is important, because this call is necessary for faith in God, to trust in the Lord, and you're taking some steps of faith right now. But when you take those steps of faith, the prophetic word has come, the instruction to your spirit during this amazing gathering of believers has come, people are releasing revelation, you're catching it, your spirit is catching it, but this guy's beginning to say, how? How shall this thing be? When? I don't know. The prophetic word has come and something in your spirit is stirred up, or a rhema word has come, something in your spirit is stirred up, and some of you are about to go make changes in your organization, but something in you is saying, I don't know. Why should you? How should you? And the soul rises up, the spirit knows it's right, but the soul is dragging you behind. And it's making you ask questions, and you know what the Spirit has said is true. You know it's right. You know the Lord's mind is there. But there's an enemy of your soul that just rises up and begins to doubt and ask questions and to put your soul out. And so what you do, you put your soul out of action. What is the position to which one comes to that has had experience, who has walked with the Lord for a long time, who knows this walk of faith? I want to help us today. I know these doubts and fears. I know these questions. Because when God gives you an instruction, you will be shocked that when a believer gets an instruction to help a people, even in a place of obedience, the school of the Spirit will have you know that things can start to look opposite of everything that has been spoken. That the day you made up your mind to do the things of God, all of a sudden, as soon as people started calling you an apostle in the marketplace, you start receiving eviction notices. I'm looking for some real folk here. That the day you said, I do, all of a sudden, and I want to take issue with that in my next conversation with you, I think tomorrow, and help you understand exactly what it is that the enemy is up against. But I want to put it this way. I want you to reach a point where you can understand that the very best of us, no matter how eloquently we may speak, if we can be a bit more transparent with our scars, we can help a generation. If we can stop looking like it's all good and dandy and help us understand that anointed people have marriage issues, that anointed people have money problems, that anointed people do have legal issues, the more we can start to help ourselves in this journey where fathers can sit with sons and not just give the honor stories, but also give the horror stories. It's going to help people start to understand you're not an angel. That you actually go through times when you yourself are struggling, and that the soul is a walk of life. And that you will get to a point where you will master this thing, where you will look at it, and that doubt will come. The natural tendency for me was doubt. I didn't know what I was doing with some things. I remember when I built a company that I eventually lost. It had been the epitome of what everybody would talk about, but I lost it. I'd go to places and they'd introduce me to as this person, but I had lost it. So what defined you? Did you know for most of you that people don't pick up your call, they pick up your position. So the day you don't have the position, nobody's picking up the call.
And when I come to a church, I'm being told to give your neighbor a high five and tell them tomorrow by this time. But the journey you walked to build that thing and the journey you have to walk to repair things looks like a lifetime. And you have to bring your soul back into believing that what God said shall come to pass shall come to pass. Can I be real this afternoon? God is giving me an unction to speak to you that doubt is the natural tendency. Fear is the natural tendency to question, to quarrel, to hesitate. I have to say to my soul, it's a struggle, but I'm going with God. I'm going with God. I have to speak to my soul and say, on this matter, I know we may not agree, but I'm going with God. I'm sure you know what I mean. That's a position we come into when we walk with God. We come to the place where we begin to get to know a little bit about our souls and how those souls get us in trouble and how we want to argue the matter. It's why you think that you have to be right when you argue with your wife. But most of you don't understand that the soul has this nature of wanting to be correct. But being correct and being right are two different things. You see, God is not correct. God is righteous. So when I sit and I have a conversation, have you wondered why when you look at an older couple, the man is just quiet? There's a secret they've learned in life. That because you just get to a point where you discover we're never going to win. The victory is always in silence. It sounds like a joke, but have you wondered when an older man is just looking at younger people somewhere that are arguing and talking and just stroking his beard and looking and wishing that he could transfer wisdom? But you see, it's the natural place where he's mastered and brought his soul to the place of a discipline and understands that I don't have to speak all the time. I don't have to be the one on the top poster all the time. If I'm secure in my calling, at the right time, God will bring me and reveal me. If I feel I must be the one that is happening all over the place, I still have some things I need to deal with my soul. The soul. I don't have to be correct. I want to be right. When you are correct, you're on a trajectory called meritocracy. That means you're operating on a dimension of merit. You have to be correct so that people can be able to position you properly. So you have to sit at the particular place. You have to look a particular role. And that has gotten a lot of us into so much trouble. And righteousness is different because righteousness has destiny in it. So you don't want to be correct. You want to be right. Because when you are right with God, then you're moving on the path of righteousness. Now, righteousness, the throne of God is built on righteousness and justice. But righteousness and justice, if there's no mercy seat there, I can assure you that you're disqualified before you even started. The standard is too high, and therefore God has to deploy a mystery called mercy to help us at the time of need. So we have to understand how this throne is approached. That's why the throne of God must be understood. But mercy works hand in hand with grace. So it is when you have mastered your soul that, because, ladies and gentlemen, when I look through, I have a scripture I have to show you. Please come with me to Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 12. Let me see if I can catch a little bit of this now. I still have good time. The word of the Lord came again to me saying, are you tired? Are you guys okay? All right. Son of man, when a land sins against me, by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch up my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread. I will send famine on it and cut off man and beast from it. Continue. Even if these three men,
Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. These three men. I mean, for God to say that I would destroy the entire universe, but if these three men were there, they would make a case. But I would only spare them by their righteousness. Those three men are worth studying. What is this righteousness of Noah? What is this righteousness of Job? What is this righteousness of Daniel? And when you study that and look through their lives, and I hope tomorrow I'll get a little bit of time to deal with Daniel. Can you come to verse 19. He says it again in verse 19 of the same chapter. Or if I send pestilence into that land, pour out my fury, go on. Verse 20. Even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would only deliver neither son nor daughter. I want to show you the example of another two men. Jeremiah 15:1 says, Jeremiah 15 verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out. What is this that men have and have mastered that by the time God is dealing with an entire world, he has to mention particular individuals. Yet when I study the lives of those individuals, I see a journey. I see a journey of a very prosperous man that lost everything. I see a journey of a young man who had nothing but pain from his brothers. This mastering of the soul and disciplining of the soul, what it will do, it'll help you get to a point where you are not carrying men, you are carrying God. What am I trying to say? It means by the time you get to the palace, your purpose is not vengeance. Because for some of you, the reason you want to reach the palace is because you have a point to prove. And the problem is if you have a point to prove when you get to the palace, you're going to kill your brothers. Because the brothers are the ones that put you in the pit. But God has to give you the ability to master this soul through prison. Through pain. Through suffering. Ladies and gentlemen, I have some bad news for every believer. There is something in a believer called fellowship with suffering. And we have to teach people that now faith is good, but there is a part of scripture that will help us expose and understand that suffering is a part of our journey. That you can be called a billionaire today and have nothing tomorrow. And God still has rights in you. That you can be the most amazing prophet that is speaking to an entire world on all the media channels, and within 24 hours disaster strikes, and all of a sudden you can't call on the partners and the people that you called on, that you can be called an apostle in the marketplace and things are not working in the market. I came to tell you there is something in the spirit that the Lord allows us. And I want to just deal with that very quickly in the few minutes I have. And I pray that it will be a blessing to you. So you have to meditate on this, the disciplining of the soul. That Daniel, in chapter 5 of the book of Daniel, is sitting at home when King Belshazzar is on the throne, but he had been fired. An anointed fired man. Are you in church? Because I need you to have strength to come to church even when it's not working. You need to understand the definition of the school of the spirit to be able to soar on the wings of faith. That wind must be mastered. And sometimes that wind will send you knocking to a stone. But God wants to bring you to a place where he's dealing with our spirits. And through the Spirit, he wants you to be able to navigate and help the soul. So, the school of the Spirit is for the training of the soul. Until the soul comes into the mastery to do what God wants you to do, you must understand that you must go that through that spiritual education, because God is not relegating the soul to the side.
Consider him that endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that he not works weary, fainting in your souls. You see, Pastor Podge, there are many people in church right now, but their souls have fainted. Saved, but fainted souls. And God wants to revive somebody today by understanding that, because there's no problem before God that doesn't have a solution in God, the Spirit is being instructed. It's being trained. One of the objects of the spiritual training is for the gaining of the soul. I want us to read that scripture one more time so that I can bring it home, because we read it as we started. I want you to read it one more time. It's for the gaining of the soul. Are we there? Did I give you the scripture? Hebrews chapter 10 verse 39. But of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So, my spirit receives revelation, rhema. It knows this is right, but there's a training that must happen to the soul. God is going to be patient with me until that soul has come into full alignment. That might require some firing. But the target God has is to the saving. That might require a marriage shaking. But it's all to bring you to the place where you understand that you don't have to, she doesn't have to like your sisters. That your marriage can survive. That you don't have to have blue curtains. That your marriage can survive without blue curtains. That it is possible that the prophetic word came, the spirit caught it, the body has aligned with the word and is trying to align. The soul is stubborn, but until you understand that it may take 7 years and not 3 months, God will bring your soul into alignment with His will, so that by the time the first billion naira comes, you understand you are a steward. Because the soul has not mastered a relationship with money. You see, let me just be very honest with a lot of you here. Your sanctification right now is heavily influenced by the fact that there's nothing in the bank account. It's not that you are necessarily such a nice person. We just don't have the funds to advertise your obscurity in the things of the world. But the day it's not a problem to have the latest Range Rover, to have houses in France, I don't know if Pastor Podge will see you serving, but sometimes the lack of it thereof. So God has to bring you through Potiphar's house to make sure that the day you have a relationship with Pharaoh, your brothers benefit and your brothers don't go to jail. Oh, come on, somebody. God has to make sure that the day you interact with wheat and with wealth and with money and with things, that it is a community you're thinking about and not your mansions in France. Glory be to God. That the first act of the Holy Spirit after He had come upon men was that people gave until nobody among them had need. That right now the move of God on the earth is about community, not about individual. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So any person that is coming into that blessing, you must have gone through the school to understand. Because a lot of you will give the seed to manipulate the outcome, but not give the seed because you have an understanding that God is perfecting your relationship with something called mammon. And so God will bring this discipline here until Egypt comes out of Moses. Did you know scripture shows us that the children of Israel were supposed to leave Egypt after 400 years? The 410th year, the time had come, but there was a delay for another 30 years because the deliverer was depressed. It is possible for those that are supposed to save a generation to have had such a hit of the mind. And let me tell you something. For God to raise another Moses would have taken a long time. So God had to shake Moses out of his boots by giving him a miracle that had to catch his attention. He gave him a burning bush experience. In fact, the Bible says Moses turned, which means God got his attention. The man had gotten to a point where nothing used to get his attention. He probably saw lions, he didn't care. He had reached a point because let me assure you, I know we talk about Joseph coming from the pit into the palace, but you have to appreciate, it's a tough thing to come from the palace to the wilderness. The things of God. That a man or a woman can talk about what they used to have and they don't have it anymore is a very humiliating place. And the trainings of God, ladies and gentlemen, they come with pain. They come. You see, I came from Kenya to speak truth. I came from Kenya. I said, today, Pastor Pojo, you have to just allow me be me. Not that you didn't allow me before, but I just want to speak truth. Listen to me. It is a painful thing to drop. It's a painful thing to have invited people to your wedding and the guy disappears on the last day. Child of God, can we talk? It's a painful thing when you know that you have what it takes to run that company, but God has given people who don't even pray higher positions than you. And they keep dropping you and dropping you. The school of God. The school of God, my goodness. Moses was depressed. He even started stammering. If it was up to Moses, it would have taken another 10 years for Pharaoh to let his people go. Because by the time he says, let my people, Pharaoh will be laughing. Depression. I have a friend who got a stammer from the things that had happened in his life. He is such a brilliant mind, owned a very large industry, and everything that could go wrong went wrong. He wasn't just stammering. God had to get the attention of a depressed deliverer. He had to get him a burning bush. And the man had so much intimidation of the things that happened to him. And that's why I thank God for the covenant nation, because I believe there's healing that's coming through this conference. As you saw on these wings, I believe that some of you are going to fly again. I believe you're going to know how to navigate in a storm, so that when the wind blows, you're not traumatized by what happened before, but you have faith that he who began a good work in you, he's going to be faithful to carry you to the very end. The storm of a failed marriage, the storm of a failed business. Child of God, you stand before people and things in your life are not correct. God is about to bring you back on the platform, not for your sake. That's why when you look at Job, you understand the fellowship with suffering. But when you look at the beginning of Job, you see the works of Job. That's why there's Satan at the beginning of Job. There's God, Satan, and Job. But by the time God is done with Job at the end, it is God and his son. Because by the time you go through some storms in life, if you endure, then God is going to have the final say. Because the end of the things of Job were better than his beginning. Now listen, humanity, please come, sir. Humanity is not an evil thing. No, it's not. This is God's pattern. Spirit, soul, body. This is God's pattern. God wants to perfect and bring you to the place where the soul can be mastered. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 6. Even the angels. What is man that you are so mindful of him? This is God's pattern. And this is what I'm sensing in my spirit as I begin this topic today. That as we talk about what God wants to do with this generation, there's something we have to correct. We have to correct the putting away of the soul. Because the soul is the seat of moral intelligence. So it has to be won. Those of you that are coming out to the marketplace, the soul has to be won. We have to get people that can be in positions where the whole spirit of lust has left you. You have to master it. You have to master how not to turn onto that pornographic channel when you have traveled 75,000 miles away from home and you're all alone and there's nobody that knows you. You have to master the soul. Because it's the small things that are going to come and destroy everything that God is putting in place for you. So I came with a message for you that as you soar on these wings of faith, we have to master this soul thing and we have to bring it to the place into the subjection of the things of the spirit. It has to mean that you're getting up at 4 a.m. It has to mean that you're putting the blankets aside. It has to mean that you're saying, soul, I'm going to win no matter what. I'm going to align with the things of God and you're coming with me. It means that when we get there, both body, spirit, and soul are going to be intact with the things of God. That when God speaks to my spirit, it's just passing through and not having to navigate and jump the soul into the spirit. No. He's not jumping from the spirit into the body. Your soul is going to align. So that when you hold that ridiculous wealth and when you come into power and when you come into the palace, you're not moved by the things that men are moved by. You're moved by the things of God. This is why the training of Esther's by Mordecai has become necessary. Yes, you need to dance before the king, but there's a greater purpose while you're coming into the palace. I put it in this way, in the name of Jesus, every person that is under the sound of my voice, when it comes to the matters of the soul, may God give you wisdom and understanding today to bring that soul into complete subjection of the Holy Spirit. He said, I won't leave you alone. I'll give to you Paracletos. I'll give to you. I think I can use this example. Does someone have another pen? Do you have a pen in your view? No? Okay. Protocol should not carry pens. So he says, I will send to you another comforter, another helper, Paracletos. Please just come with me for a minute. Let me make this illustration. Paracletos here meaning I won't forget Paracletos. I'll tell you why I'm teaching like this. My heart is broken because I've seen one too many believers rise. And at the first terror that hits them in their rising, we lose them. Speaking like this because I've seen many of us don't have an understanding of how to handle ridiculous wealth. And when you understand the tricks of wealth and the things of wealth and the things that God wants to bless us with, we must understand. I know some of you look at Pastor Poju from an idol perspective. And when you see what he has accomplished, when he puts his hands on you, what you just want to do is replicate what he has done. If you knew his desire for you as a father is to go way further than what he has even accomplished. But ladies and gentlemen, for you to go higher, the wind is thinner. So there are things you have to begin to train and understand that God is not going to whom much is given, much is required. But I will send to you a helper. Paracletos. Meaning one who is to be alongside you. Now he says, when I send another, these are two pens, but they're not the same pens. So if I send another, I'm not sending heteros, meaning I'm not sending another who will do things the way they want to do and do whatever. Yes, they write. Yes, he writes just like this other one writes, but this is another pen. This is heteros. He says, I'll send to you allos, meaning looks just like me, talks like me, speaks like me, of a similar kind. So as you operate with that spirit, you will know that you've received help from God himself for your spirit to be able to bring this soul into full alignment. Yesterday I was in Ghana by God's grace, and I was invited by Archbishop, and while we were having dinner, he had invited three presidents. I was sitting there, and as I was meditating on this word that I was coming to speak to you about, I was sitting there as a young minister, and I was looking at this father, three presidents in his house, calling him Papa. Oh yeah, let's be real. And after that, you know, just before that, he had asked for oil. He prayed for me. And I happen to be a student of grace. I teach a lot on grace. I've understood how grace has worked for men, on men for men. But I tried to navigate his journey. For these men to be calling him Papa, presidents, come to his house. Three of them, including the one they are inaugurating today. And they're all calling him Papa. And they're kneeling down. And he's speaking over them, and I could see authority. Now, as a young minister, I started thinking about East Africa. I said, Father, could it be possible that one of these days, you see, it's easy to desire that, but I don't know what it has cost that man to soar at that height. So as much as the oil can come on your head, there's a training of the soul. It's okay to desire these things, but there's a training of the soul that most of you have to be ready for, depending on what you're desiring. So God will have us understand that, yes, I've sent another to help you. And tomorrow we'll look at some amazing examples. But what you must do, you must let patience have her perfect work, so that I'm not marrying out of pressure. I'm now marrying because there's alignment. I'm not starting the business because everybody starts a business. My spirit got a word and has pulled my soul. No, just pull it while you're here. Has pulled my soul into alignment. Are you understanding me? Are you catching what I'm saying? May your spirit man enter the place of perfecting the things of God, so that you can do what God has called you to do and become what God has called you to go. So that when you come from Ziklag and you go to recover and 200 people are tired, you don't come back and say you don't deserve anything. No, you have learned how to have mercy. Because there's a person that is being given responsibility. Mercy becomes a key thing in your life. That now when you have positions, it's not positions so that you can have vengeance. It's power that you can use as the hand of God and become a steward of the mysteries of God. It's not so that you can just put your face all over the nation as the person that's doing the miracles. You begin to understand that without God, I am nothing. That if you see increase in ministry, you know it is God. That when you see growth in business, you know it is God. 2024 was probably one of my toughest years. And when I was in prayer in the spirit, the Lord said to me, I'm going to bring you into a place of ridiculous recovery. But before that, the school of the spirit will bring Moseses to their knees and make them wonder if they were called. If you've never wondered, you've not yet reached this place I'm talking about. It will bring Davids to the place where they will say, how can I be negotiating with Achish, the king of the Philistines, when the oil from the prophet is on my head? The agony of the soul that can cause a man to faint, even when they have every word. I'm praying right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm releasing grace over the covenant nation. I'm releasing grace for men and women that are calling it quits today, and their souls have convinced them to say it is over. I'm coming here as a voice from Yahweh to say that weeping may endure for a night, but joy has arrived. I'm here, Lord, to let them know that just because there's been a wilderness for 40 years does not mean you've abandoned them. I'm praying for you through this week that even through the word that is preached, God will get your attention. I'm praying that some of you have burning bush experiences. I'm praying that some of you have encounters. I'm praying that there's a realignment in your spirit for God to do what he said he's going to do, because I believe in this place are men and women that are going to carry on this vision that was started at the Covenant Nation and be able to carry something even greater to other nations. Sister, I know he left you on that wedding line, but get your soul back online. Get your soul back to the Wi-Fi connection. The Bluetooth device has connected successfully. I pray for you. I pray for your soul, man, that by the time God looks at you 15 years from now, in your office, the things of God matter. I pray that we'll find some of you with altars for God on the 25th floor in London, that you've not forgotten how to pray, that God is still the one that runs the show in your life. I'm praying as you succeed that God is going to have the center place in your life. I'm praying, young people, that even though you see the thing is looking like it's not working, your eyes are going to be fixed on the one who gave you that call, to know that the one who called you, he is sure, and he is not a man that he should lie, and that God is going to do what he said he shall do. I know others have gone ahead of you, but in my language, in Swahili, there's something we say, kutangulia sio kufika. Going ahead does not mean arrival. So we came to announce, this is not how the story ends. I have 34 seconds left, so I'm going to use this analogy for you. The fact that an iPhone 3 can be upgraded to an iPhone 11, many people have dismissed you at your version 4. They don't understand there's 5 coming. There's 6 coming. As you align, you may not look like the part, but I believe through the shaking and those winds, something is happening. I may not have rent, but something is happening. I may not have money for the taxi, but something is happening. I may have to beg for a meal tonight, but that does not mean that God is not on my side, because if David went through it, if Joseph went through it, if Samuel went through it, if Daniel went through it, ladies and gentlemen, it means that God is doing a work in your life. Somebody shout amen. Lift up your hands. Father, every person under the sound of my voice that has received this word, I pray for them that none of them shall faint, that none of them shall give up to the attaining of the soul, that Father, they will get to the place where there is now full alignment with the things of God in their spirit, in their soul, and in their body. In Jesus' name, somebody shout aloud, amen.